Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on Sirius XM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
What's up? Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV, the Walking Dead After Show.
How you guys doing?
We're good.
Excellent. I'm doing well, too.
I'm your host, Ben Bateman. This is the Walking Dead Weekly After Show on AfterBuzz TV, and I'm joined by a lovely panel of co-hosts. Back again, we have Mr. John Carl.
I always feel really bad when you say we have a lovely panel, and then you start by pointing at me. But I appreciate it. John Carl, the John Carl on Twitter, and, of course, one half of Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube.
Are you ever going to just bring in, like, whiskey and a waffle and just do it, at, like, right here?
I feel like at the season finale I should.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Or a waffle with whiskey maple syrup.
I've done that. Yeah. That I could do, yeah.
That sounds
Anything
so good.
Involving the two. Joyce and Jury, welcome back to the panel.
Thank you. It's good to be back. It's been a while. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @JayAsJury.
And you guys know Daryl Kristen is some sort of Oscar thing tonight. I might actually just be covering the Oscars.
Yeah, you may have heard of it, the Oscars.
Really sure. But we have a replacement in Michelle Madison, host
hey
on
guys.
Miami Now TV. Welcome to the panel.
Oh, thanks for having me, and I hope you guys don't mind sitting through listening to me for an hour.
Oh, please.
Along with you guys.
Happy to have you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
There's a lot of good stuff to talk about. This was actually a really fun episode. It's like one of those rare occurrences where it wasn't action-packed, but it was really engaging. I really, really like this episode.
Yeah. Very emotional,
I always get scared when new groups get introduced because you just never know. But this group, like, I'm glad finally they're a group that they can, like, actually work with. And like he said in today's episode, like, your world's going to get a whole lot bigger, which I'm really excited about. So
yeah, every time they give us a new world to play in, it's always like there's always a lot of speed bumps, but exciting, dramatic speed bumps. So anyway, guys, you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on YouTube, iTunes, all of that. Like, subscribe, comment, keep us going because we provide content that we love doing for free. And if you guys help us say hi in the standings, we'll continue to provide it for free.
And we are in the chat. I'm in the chat as Whiskey and Waffles, so it's easy to spot. Just yell at me if you have something important you want me to bring up on the show.
Yeah.
And I'll try to do it if possible.
So let's talk the episode, guys. This is Season 6, Episode 11, titled Knots Untie, directed by Michael E. Satrazimus, I think is his name. This is his fifth episode that he's directed now.
Cool.
So the first one he directed, you guys might remember, is the one a few seasons ago, The Grove, where you had the two little girls and the one is psychotic.
Yeah.
Carol has to take care of her.
When she puts down the little
Definitely like one of the most unsettling episodes that we've seen.
Yeah.
He's very into stabby stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. He also directed the mid-season finale of this one. So just the recent big one. So but I really like this episode. I've liked these episodes. Those are two of my favorites. This was a big one, right? Like a lot of kind of crazy stuff happened. I think we'll start out in Alexandria as they are going off to the hilltop. And Rick is like, okay, Carl, get in the car. Why don't you give Judith to Gabriel? And Carl's like, nah, I don't want to go introduce myself to the kid with a messed up face. It's not a great place to start. So we're starting to see the maturing of Carl.
Mm-hmm.
He's like starting to kind of turn into a man a little bit. And I think this with the eye is the first step towards that.
And he's letting his dad have a boo.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, right? We didn't like get like a lot of explanation of the Michonne stuff. They kind of just skipped over it almost.
But they had a lot of PDA going on, I thought. It was sometimes I didn't think it was like, I thought it was forced at times. In my
opinion. In the episode in general, you mean?
Yeah, it just, I don't know.
Like how something that just happened is like now they're all of a sudden like hand on the knee and like, because everybody really just found out on the staircase.
Right there.
It was like a walk of shame, but like a stairway of shame for
but
them.
But a dramatic
like everyone
intense...
kind of walked in.
Yeah.
I think, like, I think after that moment when they realized, oh, everyone is, like you said, everyone's into our business now. So like they're not going to hide it. So in the RV, they were like holding hands or like, you know, touching each other's back. So it's like, eh, who cares? Everybody has seen it already.
There was a lot of reactions to that that were kind of negative, I thought. Like last week, a lot of people flipped out.
Not just, in this chat room. This chat room loved it last week.
Hey, chat room. We love the love. Yes.
We don't really get a whole lot of like obvious ships on this show. That's not really... Compared to some shows on TV, you don't get to like ship Rishon. You know what I mean? Like
that's because people die.
Yeah,
yeah. You want a mate that's gonna survive.
Yeah,
and can have your back with a sword when you get up.
Yeah,
by Jesus.
Yeah. So that's
praise Jesus.
So that's where we start. I was happy to see Carl kind of assert himself. Like I'm gonna make my own decision here as a man. I'm gonna stay back, protect the city. It's gonna be nice to see. I mean, I was watching some of the old episodes the other day, and he looks so much younger. I mean, the actor looks younger. They write the character, obviously, quite a bit younger.
Right.
You know, this adolescence phase is exciting to watch.
Well, because it's 6 years of real time, and it's only been under 2 years of showtime. So they have to keep writing them younger. So.
Yeah.
How much?
So hard. It's okay. It's hard. It's sometimes hard for me to remember that, like, Carl really should only be...
It's 550 days is the rough time frame.
That's where we're at right now on the show.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's almost 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's grown more than that, but not like...
But some tweens grow differently. Some sprout out.
Yeah.
You know, some are look young forever.
You can make that argument.
Yeah.
So also back in Alexandria, we had a really, like, poignant interaction between Abraham and Sasha. We know that there has been some romance there. We know that Abraham has had this kind of, like, dishonest thoughts about her, and he's not being entirely honest. Well, in relative to his relationship to Rosita.
Yeah.
Guys can't think of other girls, and girls can't think about other guys
in
a relationship?
He's kind of like professing. I don't think he was just thinking.
I'm playing devil's
advocate. He put it out there, yeah.
Okay.
Look, how'd you guys like that interaction?
You can look.
She can't touch. I don't think it was inappropriate because he's thinking it. He hasn't said anything, I think, to her. I think he was just like, oh, interesting that you're not going to be on watch with me anymore. But I don't.
He said something to her in the previous part of the season, though, when he like kind of admitted that he was, didn't he? When they were out, when he found like the captain's coat and they were in that building. They have an interaction there where he kind of admits that something's going on, right?
I think so.
I
vaguely remember.
I don't remember.
But I know that there's been some like chemistry that Sasha is obviously aware of. Like I don't think that this whole thing is I don't think she's oblivious to like what Abraham is putting out there or like feeling towards her.
He's not the most clever person either, so it's not like he's going to be very good at hiding it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Rosita might not know or she might know and is just ignoring it. But Sasha definitely knows.
Well, because he said something to the effect when they were in that house when just before Daryl found them, not a house, it was a building, like an office building. But he said something about thinking about like what's going on back in the world, what's important, what like life ahead of us. There's a lot of life left. Like, something to that effect. I'd have to watch the scene again, but I think she kind of got what he was talking about because he was looking at her that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this scene, do we think that she's doing that just because she's like, you're taken, I want to avoid the drama here?
It sounds like
probably,
it to me.
But I mean, she's been through enough where I feel like she doesn't want to, like, tread those waters.
But she seems to have a little bit of attraction to him, too.
Look, it's the end of the world. It's every woman for themselves. Girl, don't miss your boo.
Fair enough.
The chat is saying that you are right. There was a time... that he did definitely let on to it.
Yeah, he at least alluded to it. He wasn't like straight up just like, I want to leave Rosita and I want to shack up with you.
Okay.
But I think he said something a little bit more subtle, which is, you know, for him.
Yeah.
Something about, you know, Bisquick and batter. Like,
his analogies are just everything to
Man
me.
Of many metaphors.
Yeah, he's clever in his own way, I guess. Right? I mean, okay, so do you think that Rosita... Okay, do you think Rosita has any idea there's something going on?
Apparently not after she made something for him.
No,
symbolic. Because if she did, she would have, like, did something, I think, after the scene in the bed.
I feel like she would have brought it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. She seems to be that kind of person, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think... And then they made another comment, right? Because last week we talked about Eugene and Rosita and the possibility that they're building towards that being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
She said, he's teaching me... like
chemistry.
And yeah, right. And then he can't teach chemistry. they're definitely setting that up. They have to be setting that up. Mm-hmm. That's the second week in a row that I've gotten just like a little inkling. Mm-hmm. And they never give you, like last week at the beginning of the episode, when Rick and Michonne are talking and she's in the robe, and we all look at each other and we're like, are they doing this? By the end of the episode, they had done this. So definitely Eugene and Rosita, I think that's the thing they're planting the seeds
really?
For.
Yeah, I can't. Totally. I can't see it happening. Because I feel like Rosita's more invested in Abraham than, obviously, Abraham is in her. So I don't mm-hmm. think she sees Eugene in that light. But plus, I also feel like Eugene and Rosita getting together and Abraham and Sasha getting together is just too convenient. It's like,
see, I don't know kind if of Abraham and Sasha will end up getting together.
So if I don't, Eugene I don't know and if Rosita happen. Do get together, something between Abraham and Sasha will prevent them.
Maybe. I just think like they're setting up an explosion. They're setting up, especially with what we saw at the end of the episode, which when Abraham was getting strangled. And we'll get to that part of the episode in a minute here. But just to kind of close out on his character, what we saw, they gave him a lot of screen time this episode, and they gave him a lot of like aha moments, sort of like emotional epiphany in his head moments. And you're wondering like when he's getting strangled and he has that thought in his head, who does he see there? Yeah. Who's he thinking about?
It wasn't even really fighting back.
No, it was like he kind of was like, I've lost, and then he left the brake light necklace on the ground.
That was symbolic for sure.
I think he was thinking about Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I think we can expect that he's going to at least make a play there.
I would imagine,
I think I kind of know what may happen. If it's going to play out like a soap opera, I think so.
Well, then hold that thought.
I will, because I don't want these people trying to kill me.
That'll be your prediction. That'll be your prediction. I don't know. I think, so, but I think that the reason they've dropped like those Eugene bits twice is because I think when that does happen, whatever that is, I think he's going to end up being like the calming voice for Rosita or something like that. Mm-hmm. At least her friend.
Aww. Shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, something. It's shoulder always that guy that swoops on in.
Friend zone.
Friend zone, yes.
Right, but maybe he won't think about friend zone. Because remember in the earlier episodes when he would watch the two of them having sex?
That's true. That's so strange.
Yeah. Really weird. But like,
I mean, I guess so they don't have porn, so we had to get off somehow.
And they were like okay with it too.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, they were aware of it.
Yeah.
So, and okay then.
Let him watch. She would say. He would say or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly. It's the Stroking Dead.
Yeah. Weird. So. Yes.
So do you write porn parodies in your? Yeah.
No, I'm a spitfire. We'll just say
fair.
That.
Yeah.
Cool. It's a good idea though. Keep that in mind.
So let's jump chronologically back to the beginning of the episode a little bit. So we leave the baby back in Alexandria and we get on the road. And so now we've decided to trust Jesus because he talks about this place, the hilltop, that we eventually find out about. Mm-hmm. On the road, we see a crash. Some of his people are down and we have to go into commando mode to save these people. And they're trapped inside a building. This is just like super, super basic plot building, right? Like it's not super exciting. You don't expect anyone to die here. But we get the doctor, Harlan, who is, you said, a character from the comics. I didn't particularly remember him. But
he is a character in the comics. He's not a super memorable one, but he does have a corollary in the comics.
I guess there was a doctor, and that's so they're just... I guess that's why. That's why we get him, so that he owes them something, right?
Yeah. About time we got another doctor, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, actually...
A doctor.
An actual doctor.
Real one. That's true. Finished school. A real one.
Obstetrician, right?
Still a doctor that finished school.
Speaking of doctor, this is the second episode in a row that we've had, like, a really funny interaction between Denise and Daryl. This is both times.
They're so fun to watch.
Yeah, that's really funny. It's, like, really subtle humor, but I've loved it both times.
Yeah.
I want her to get someone, because I thought the wolf was going to be it.
Tara.
The wolf guy.
She's got Tara.
Oh.
They're shacking up.
I want that.
They've only given it, like, I think they kissed the one time, and then we saw, like,
they opened a door together the next time.
So that's the only two times they've given us the fact that that's happening. Oh, and then she asked, she was like, I want this for Tara. It's a nice thing to do. Mm-hmm. Right. The pop. But, yeah, you're not sold on the relationship, huh?
Mm, I'm curious.
Yeah?
Things happen.
All right.
Yeah, you never know.
End of the world.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, so we're on the road then. We find this doctor. We get back to Hilltop. Mm-hmm. And now it's like the teams all kind of get it. So I think at this point we all like Jesus, right? We all trust him?
I'm still hesitant a little bit, though. He seems too awesome.
Yeah.
Too pure in this world.
His name,
I
kind of
get that.
And he looks like him.
Right. I kind of get that. But I feel like he's like... Because we've got Gregory, right? Like, I feel like Jesus isn't quite in this leadership role that he maybe is cut out for.
Yeah.
So he's kind of on the cusp, and he's kind of going between, like, should I delegate? Should I make these decisions? Should I bring them over to Gregory or something else? I feel like he's not quite showing, like, the strong leadership, and that's holding his personality back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're getting, like, this uneasiness with him. That's how I feel. But I trust him.
I read Jesus kind of as, you know, we always talk about who the leaders are. Mm-hmm. Like, Rick is a great leader. Daryl's a great leader. Carol's a great leader. Jesus is a great lieutenant. I feel like he doesn't want all the pressure of being a leader onto him. But if there's somebody that he believes in, he will be the one to execute for them. And, and that's the vibe I get off of him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're also...
That's a good way to put it.
They're also... So if you think about the communities that we've seen and the like various levels of development. So take the Hilltop, take Alexandria before they got there, the Governor, and what was that place called? Woodbury.
Woodbury.
When these different communities that get found, even to some degree in the early seasons when they found the farm and Herschel and his kids
prison.
Were there. Yeah, so when you think about each of these places and like the level of development and comfortability in this world where they were,
mm-hmm.
Hilltop's pretty far along, but it still hasn't been faced with adversity in the way that some of these other communities eventually are. Like,
mm-hmm.
they haven't had to fight for themselves in right? Like, most of these mm-hmm. places, it's like, our group comes there and they kind of show them like this is what it's like to have to fight to stay alive.
Right? Yeah.
So I think that we're seeing the early stages of a community that is going to have to grow up real quick.
Yeah.
But I don't know, something about it just I don't know. There's just a question mark for me. There's not enough people there. I just feel like it's like a handful of people and something is off. Like there has to be some other people somewhere. Especially,
so are you getting like the Terminus vibe a little bit? The cannibal vibe?
Not so, because I mean, well, they were growing fruits and veggies, but I don't know. Something about it just almost seems too like I want to. It's like Disney World.
Looks too good.
It looks too good, and I'm like, something has to be wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And that's my other thing with Jesus, because I can't find a flaw with him other than what you just said, which is great. But I want like more like. I don't know.
I know what you mean.
I want like more of a hard character flaw.
Yeah.
And I can't, that's why I can't trust it.
I feel like the way we see Jesus is the, like he's bringing that impression over to the Hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, what makes Hilltop a little like strange is Gregory. Like,
right.
I didn't feel weird about the Hilltop. Like, you know, we've got the guards, but everyone has guards, you know? But I didn't feel weird about Hilltop until Gregory came out. And, like, we talked about while we were watching the show, we were like, immediately we felt, like, these weird vibes.
Yeah.
And then he just made the vibe of their community, like, even weirder to me.
So he represents, like, a couple different things here. First of all, we don't get a lot of characters in the show that when we meet them, they are immediately dislikable characters, where they don't show us.
Sure.
Like, we don't get a lot of black and white characters because traditionally in television, that's... It's simple writing,
yeah.
And this is a pretty intelligent show. They don't really like to give us characters like that. So he's a character you're obviously supposed to dislike right away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even just from the way the first thing he says, you're not supposed to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's just so condescending to Maggie.
Calling Maggie Natalie, not caring that he got it wrong.
I just don't understand how he survived. Like, to make it this far in, like, that world.
Well,
and that's part of what I'm thinking. Like, how did these people survive? I mean, I know they were there from the beginning, but still.
By being a coward, clearly,
and
making
to put
a deal
walls,
and giving half of everything away.
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like he got lucky and fell into it. And maybe it's just a question of, like, being educated and forceful enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't know enough about Hilltop. Because it could be, you know, they have a blacksmith. They have the most blue-collar, manual labor-type people who feel like maybe we can't make these decisions, but you have this guy who's in a nice suit, and he's really refined when he talks and everything like that. Some people start to fall for, okay, well, this guy feels like what my leaders were before everything went down, so he should be my leader moving forward.
Which kind of mirrors, like, what you see today, like, in real life. I mean, like businesses. If you're thinking of this community as a business, which in ways it is, like, there are so many people that, you know, I know in the workforce that are like that, you know, who dress the part, who talk the part. I mean, he's condescending, but, like, that happens.
Mm-hmm. I just need my leader to look like he could kill a bear or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
this
world,
guy,
that's what I need.
Like Daryl?
Yeah, that's the kind of leader I want to know.
Well, these guys have to
Daryl
survive out in the wild, so they don't even know that they need that, really.
I know, but I'm just saying
yeah,
you never know.
I mean, it's pretty clear we're supposed to dislike him. The question is, are they going to flip the script on us? Is it that, or is it just literally this simple?
Are they going to give him a redeeming quality, or like something about his background that explains why he is the way he is?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't see him.
To use one
around.
Of your favorite phrases, he's a shit weasel.
Yeah, he's the shit weasel.
Yeah,
no question.
I won't miss him.
We get two of those per episode. We just
use both.
Yep.
They said shit on the episode
like multiple times.
We're allowed to say it on here. Yeah. Quickly on the point of Jesus, just because a couple people said this in the comments last week, I think, or maybe it was on Twitter or something. Last week on IMDb, his character was listed as Paul Monroe, but I know that when I was listening, it was Paul Rovia, and I wrote that down, but I saw Paul Monroe, I was like, I must have just misheard it. They changed it on IMDb,
oh,
it's Paul
weird.
Rovia. So it was, I heard correctly, but for some reason that he was listed as Paul Monroe for a week on IMDb. So if anybody was confused or thought that we didn't know what we were talking about last week, that was the reason.
Yeah.
Thanks for that clarification.
Yeah.
See, that's why you need fans like this.
So Gregory is talking to Maggie. She's kind of taken on a little bit of this assertive role. Now, do we like this for Maggie as her kind of a little bit of... like a little bit more of the democratic
like
leader.
An ambassador?
She's kind of like the ambassador for the Alexandrians now. She seems to make up the other half of Rick in a way that we haven't had a character do yet, or a character has not done that yet.
What I was confused about is why she was the one that had that conversation at first, because it wasn't established. The later conversation, it said, okay, it needs to be her. Why wasn't the conversation with Gregory and Rick shown? Because I feel like he would be the first one to walk in there.
Did
whether
you say Rick Schoen?
Like the conversation between him and Rick
Schoen. Why was him and Rick space Schoen?
Okay, sure.
I won't use that other phrase. But why we didn't get to see that first? Because I don't believe Rick wouldn't have been the first person in there.
In the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing when we were watching it. I was like, is Maggie going behind the group's back and doing this? Or did, what? You know, yeah, it was the conversation of them telling her to go in there the first time, just not present. I was a little confused, too. But I like this role in her, or this part of her role, because, I mean, we've seen her as a fighter. And we've also seen her take a step back. And now she's... you know, pregnant and everything. I want to see, like, more from her character. And I think this is a really good place to start.
Well,
to see her diversity.
So, we always say this. I'm not even going to get into spoilers. But stick around for our predictions episode. We'll do spoilers at the end of the episode. As far as, like, comic book references, things like that. Because there's definitely some interesting plot points that are going on here. That are foreshadowing some stuff going on later.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that a little later. But as far as Maggie in this role, I like her in this role.
I do.
And I like her using her leverage.
Yeah.
It did feel a little bit rushed to me.
Yeah.
It did feel a little bit rushed. I get the second interaction. That felt natural based on everything that happened at the beginning. But her being the one to start the negotiation, that I wasn't sold on that.
Yeah.
But I think it's because Rick is starting to be a little bit more on his animalistic side. I think he's kind of stepping back. I think what you guys said earlier about... I feel like that diplomatic side of him has kind of died a little bit.
Yeah.
And he knows that she's probably going to make a better decision than he would.
Yeah.
And that's why he kind of...
So you think he delegated that decision?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he knew that because when they first met and he was saying, hey, I'm Rick, and the guy just totally was oblivious to that.
Yeah.
I think he knew he went from 0 to 100 at that moment and said, you know what? I'm going to take a step back, let Maggie handle this, because I may kill this dude.
Maybe he's thrown in. He's like, let's throw the really nice, pretty girl with the slightly southern drawl in the room and see if that works better than me.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, when they first walked in and then Gregory told him to go get cleaned up, there was that short exchange between Rick and Maggie when he was like, Maggie, you go first.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, why? And he's like, you need to start doing these things. So I wonder if that was him telling her to go talk to him first. instead of going. I thought at first like it was him telling her to go get cleaned up first.
Right.
I did
That's
too.
That's why I was like, did she just get offended by Rick? I didn't realize that maybe it was him telling her to be the first to go talk with him.
That makes sense.
I think Rick was going to break his
That,
neck.
Like, all just made sense in my head right now.
Yeah.
As I'm looking
or
back on that scene.
Neck, maybe.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. Because he did need it.
So then let's jump forward just a little bit right after that first interaction. We have the folks come back from their interaction with Negan and the Saviors. Now we hear Negan's name again, and we have this, like, double-crossed stabbing of Gregory and Rick just finding himself covered in blood yet again.
Yeah. He's like, what?
It's the most common.
I love that.
It's like the most common thing.
Yeah. It was like, I'm completely okay with everything that just happened. I just ended a guy's life by puncturing his neck.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's the problem?
And like,
and
just jumping.
Dislocates the guy's hand. Like,
I love how even though Rick has taken a step back in terms of like fighting and making all these decisions, like that part of him still comes out. Like it's still in the back of his brain. It'll come out whenever he needs to. But I think he's more confident in his like more... nurturing and calm side now.
Didn't Rick have a gun on him? So when he jumps down on the guy and starts hitting him in the face, that's the part of it that I'm just like, you're so crazy. Why are you going like just going to like the sock the guy in the face six times move instead of the like hit you, stand above you with the gun in your face move, which is like clearly the I'm not going to break my hand move. It seems like the smarter decision, but Rick just goes into animal mode.
But that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They've broken down into animalistic ways. So.
Yeah.
So one thing with that whole, you know, everybody comes back from the interactions with Negan and the Saviors.
I feel like that was the biggest...
Rick was wearing his murdering jacket. It was bound to happen.
That's true. I feel like that was the biggest dick move on Jesus's part.
Yeah.
To not tell him that before the community. Like, as good as Jesus has been, and I do believe he has good intentions, that's something you tell somebody before you bring them into this entire loop.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the Negan stuff.
Yeah, like...
Right.
I mean, whether or not he had heard anything about the interaction that they had with the Saviors on the road or anything like that, you're bringing Rick and his whole community into your situation. Mm-hmm. And there's no way that Negan's people aren't going to find out about this new community brought into the situation. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't you have warned them first?
Completely, yeah, yeah. I mean, totally. Like, that, and that's, you wonder why? Like, he didn't mention it probably because it's uncomfortable and he didn't want to freak them out. Maybe he was secretly in some ways trying to kind of leverage that and like bring them in to do their dirty work, like the kind of deal that they end up signing at the end. Maybe he kind of knew something like that might happen.
I don't know. I still classify it as a dick move.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
It was definitely a selfish move.
Kind of dying.
Yeah, no problem.
That's right. You've been dying all night. It's fine. We'll just talk so on gross. This side. We're good. Keep the camera here when she's talking.
I'm so sorry. That's so gross.
So all right. So we had that whole interaction go down, the argument, the stabbing, the killing, and then the blacksmith and the people just like looking at Rick covered in blood. Mm-hmm. Do we think that like the people in the community now are going to be resistant to Rick because they just watched him murder someone?
I mean, the first interaction you see is him killing one of your own. I think there's definitely some resentment there.
Right. Like, and it was one of the guy's brothers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if they know, once they get everyone gets a 411, I think they're going to feel safer, in my opinion, because none of them can fight.
Right.
And they just lost, I mean, before that killing, they lost one person and one person is kidnapped. And they know that they can't help themselves. So I think that they're going to see them as a benefit. They
right.
may be a little resistant by one or two, but I think overall they're going to say, you know what, we need these people.
Right. Well, and so Rory was the 16-year-old kid that was beaten to death. I wonder if we're going to see, if we're going to like meet Rory's parent or something like that.
But
later.
Did they survive the apocalypse?
We don't know. They didn't tell us, but I mean, they gave him a name. They gave the kid, Rory, this kid who died. So I wonder if that's going to be a thing that, that matters later in the story. I was wondering also though, with the Saviors and like the, all right. So Ethan is the guy that died, right? He's the guy that stabbed. Is Ethan the guy that stabbed, Gregory?
Ethan and was the brother Craig. I wasn't writing names down at that point.
Okay, yeah. I think Ethan is the guy who gets stabbed through the neck. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And then his brother, and then there was a girl with them, and they still had someone named Craig.
Craig was the one who was captured.
Craig's the one who was captured.
Yep.
So what I'm wondering is, in that episode towards the end of the mid-season, when Daryl met the guy, the unnamed guy, and his two girls, and then they stole the motorcycle.
Oh.
Remember this? I'm wondering, like, what part of which community they're going to fit into. Because they're clearly coming back. There's no way that those people would just be, like, introduced to the story and just disappear. I wonder if they're part of Hilltop, or I wonder if they're part of the Savior's crew.
Right. Were they a part of the Saviors and then were escaping that, or were they a part of Hilltop and they were fearing for their lives, so they knew they had to get out regardless?
Yeah.
I think either is a possibility, yeah. Mm.
Something like that. I'm sort of curious. I'm just trying to figure out when they're going to come back into the story.
I see more badass, so I'm going to go with Saviors.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
The chat is begging to mention the chat is begging to mention the chat. God, I can't talk tonight. Chat wants us to say that.
Negan said we need to understand right off the bat. Okay, because the bat, right?
Right.
So, is that something we can talk about yet, or is that?
We said we would mention it. I told them I would mention it. We'll get into spoilers and
all
we'll
that
stuff.
Yeah, we'll throw that into spoilers later.
Yeah, way later.
No problem.
Yep.
All right. So we have the dislocated arm. We have this whole interaction. And now we have Gregory, who's been stabbed, who says it's like a cement mixer going in his stomach.
Oh, yeah.
I feel so bad for him.
Yeah. Poor thing.
He's like a huge sissy, right?
There's his like moment for us to like
douchebag.
Him.
Yeah. And Maggie's just like, it could have been much worse.
Maggie should have just like poked it.
Yeah.
She's like, you could have been pregnant.
Yeah, right? So she's like, this could have been... Actually, I'm not going to make that a joke. That's
okay.
That's a spoiler for another show.
Okay.
She goes in, we have the conversation now, and we start to wonder, how badass really are the Saviors, and how much trouble are they getting themselves into by getting into this? They're talking about Negan, the two times we've now heard about him. It seems like Negan's the real deal. He seems like he's going to be a huge problem. And I get the feeling, the way they're setting this up, everything... This was such a tension-building episode.
Yep.
They are setting us up. this group up for a huge surprise.
So here's how you know how bad Negan is. When she gave, when Maggie gave the counter offer of, you have to give us half of your stuff right now.
Yeah.
He didn't hesitate on that one.
Right.
So whatever the deal is where he's giving half of it to Negan and his people, he knows that there's the possibility of it escalating and more of his people getting killed and stuff like that. So if paying half right now is the price, it's worth it.
He's putting a lot of stake on that, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I definitely, I feel like when we get into predictions here, there's some big ones for us to talk about. Because this is a bridge episode, this one and possibly next week, into a huge finale. And I think next season will pretty clearly be the Negan season, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It feels, it just feels like we're building to. Yeah. And he's, it's nice because we haven't had like a really, really great bad guy in the show in a little while now. You know, somebody really.
Not really since the governor, no.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Like, that was the most evil person you were going to get.
Yeah.
Sorry, anybody who's live right now. I guess the video feed is down, so we're letting the control room know to get it back up.
Got it. Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
So, I guess we're building towards this. So what can we expect? I mean, I guess I don't want to get necessarily just into predictions quite yet.
Well, all I know is people are going to die.
Yeah.
Well.
A lot of deaths. I feel like we're not going to see zombies for a long time.
It seems like they're shifting.
Yeah, we didn't see that much this time. I think I counted maybe four in this episode. Like six.
Well, the bulk of the threat has been, like, wiped out thanks to the team. But, I mean, I think that was a good way for them to send off the walkers for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like they want to shift it. They want us to live in a world now where we're not all scared of just getting eaten by zombies as much as we're scared of the living threat being the ultimate thing to worry about.
Yeah, now it's a war between teams.
Yeah.
Teams.
Groups.
And babies.
Communities.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you guys think about
positive words?
What do you guys think about the weird and creepy relationship that Gregory was trying to sort of initiate with Maggie? Like, do you think that that's going to be another thing that we see more of? I mean, I was definitely creeped out.
As a woman, you get that all the time, so I don't see anything.
But I mean, she hasn't though. I mean, she's gone this long with like the utmost respect from all the men in her community, but like she can call out his bullshit like right away, which was great. But he creeped me out, like, immediately. And I feel like that attitude that he put forth towards Maggie, like, it seems like he has done that with other women in his community, and, like, that's how he gets things done, or, like, gets through people.
Yeah.
Namely women. So, like, it didn't sit well with me, and I'm glad Maggie called him out, and, like,
I felt like he was
super,
like,
creepy. Yeah.
If you go back to like a movie from like, you know, the 80s or something like that, where there's the really creepy boss who might not necessarily be trying to get in her pants, but just talks down to women in just a very degrading way. Like, I feel like that's what he was doing, and it was.
Yeah.
I honestly think it was more of a power play than a, you know, attraction play or sexual thing.
I think so too. I don't think he was trying to like come on to her, like she said.
He was still pretty rapey.
He was
super rapey. Yeah, really gross. Like, just really, like, I mean, I wrote creepy in all caps, bigger than anything else on my page here.
And she could stab him with a hairpin.
Yeah.
And kill him.
Yeah, you wonder. You just wonder if there's going to be something that we see that goes on with that. All right, so then we get back in the car now that we've seen the ultrasound. We see we have a healthy baby.
Yep.
And this is after Abraham has had his vision, his, like, whatever he saw. I guess we're all assuming it's Sasha. That's what we all think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're on the road on the way back to town. I guess I'm wondering how many episodes is it before they launched the offensive. We saw some scenes from next week, obviously, that that keyed that, but like this is episode 11 and there are 16, right? So we have five more of the season?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Yep.
What are they going to do to fill five more episodes before we see this thing explode?
My prediction is still Negan last episode of the season.
I think so,
without
too.
Saying what he's going to do, that's when he appears.
It would seem to make sense, right? But I guess I'm just wondering what are we going to get over the next five episodes?
But Jesus said I'm sorry. Didn't Jesus say that he's expanding their world? So there must be other communities. So maybe they're going to interact with another community before we get the explosion of Negan. Because I agree with you about Negan being the climax in the end. But I think maybe we may see another community.
I hope so. They could use all the manpower they can get. But I'm wondering, because the Hilltop doesn't have any ammo, that must mean other communities don't have ammo either. Otherwise, they would have traded or had some sort of agreement. Mm-hmm. So if there is another community that they team up with, it still might not be like as helpful as we'd hope for Rick and his group.
But I guess they're going to get back to town with all these supplies. I mean, based on yep. the scenes from next week True. That we saw at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So, I was sort of thinking for a second there. I was like, I wonder if they're going to run into trouble on the way back. But I guess maybe not. I mean, I guess maybe what's going to happen is that they're going to be back in town. They're going to set up this strike, and then mm-hmm. that's when stuff's going to pop off.
But yeah.
There's a lot more. Should we just get into predictions?
I mean, at this point, I think we've gone through everything. So I feel like it's going to be an extended prediction.
Yeah.
Kind of episode,
I think so, too.
And now... You're
AfterBuzz
TV.
So right now, straight off the bat, I should say to everybody involved, this is your warning 60 seconds before we start talking predictions, because this is definitely going to be a spoilers prediction. Mm-hmm. It is very difficult at this point not to talk comic book spoilers when you get into these sort of things mm-hmm. because the
Especially
show...
Especially for this side yeah. of the table.
Spoiler alert!
Don't get mad, spoiler just leave.
Alert. It's mm-hmm. following... It's like the show is so closely related to the source material now in a way that it never used to be. So we will be talking about that. If you want to turn it off, audio, video, this is your moment.
I put it in all caps in the chat room.
Yeah, just 100%.
Please don't yell at me anymore. I can't take it.
Yeah. So, all right, do you want to start first? You had sort of a prediction about the soap opera nature of Eugene, Rosita, and... Abraham and Sasha.
Yes, I think that Abraham may come on to Sasha and Rosita is going to hear it.
Yeah.
And Sasha may rebuff his advances and then she's probably going to go into the arms of someone else. That's how I see that.
Do you think the arms of someone else are going to be Eugene?
It probably will be.
Oh, Rosita. Eugene.
Rosita into yeah. the arms of somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Basic soap opera storytelling?
For that one.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Interesting.
I'm going to call that
Interesting.
One.
I go through this whole show and I don't even realize there are relationships. I'm just like, yeah. who's going to kill something?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I suck at the mushy stuff.
I don't know. I feel like Abraham saw Sasha flash before his eyes too. And,
I agree.
I think he's going to try to propose the whole like what Glenn told him, we're trying to start something here, trying to start
right.
a family.
Make some pancakes. And,
yeah, make some pancakes, mix the Bisquick, but...
so creepy.
So gross.
Super, super creepy. Really gross and weird. Yeah.
He's going to want that, and I think at the end of it all, he's probably not going to get it from either girl or something's going to happen where it's just... It's not going to work out for Abraham the way he wants.
No. We agree on that.
Yeah.
Something's not going to work out for
no.
him.
No.
So here's the question. I'm going to jump in really quickly. Because we were talking about this, that there's two characters, if you are going by the comic books, that by the time we meet Negan... We'll both die, right? So this is, I guess we're in spoiler territory.
I still feel guilty.
Yeah,
we already warned them.
They cannot
okay.
bitch at this point.
The vast mm-hmm. majority of people know at this point that the character everybody expects to die at the hands of Negan is Glenn.
That's, no writers, no.
But
they're setting it up so damn well.
Yes, they are.
They've done some weird stuff with changing the story a little bit and making it so that Glenn... They've teased his death a couple times now,
mm-hmm.
once in a huge way,
mm-hmm.
and then once in a much more, just like a quicker way. The weird one, though, is that the other character that dies in this stretch of the story is Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in fact, what's his name? Morgan died during the huge fight with the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three characters that, if we were going by the comics, would be dead by the end of the season. I don't think they're going to kill three characters
no.
by the end of the season.
No.
That
no.
seems... But we've seen things happen where they shift characters over. Like, for instance, in the comic books, Andrea would still be alive. She's a different character now that Michonne is kind of becoming.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, I think it's Glenn. I think Glenn is going to die at the hands of Negan. That's with the baseball
yeah.
bat scene, the whole deal mm-hmm. that everybody talks about and we all expect to see coming.
Lucille.
But what's going to happen with Abraham? What are they doing with his character? I can't quite figure it out.
See... My prediction on how this is going to play out does mirror the comic, and I think that there's going to be something where they have to kind of balance it, because that's the whole reason why in the comics Negan goes and takes out Glenn is, you killed one of ours, I have to kill one of yours.
Right.
Maybe it's a two-in-one thing or something like that, but I feel like we're setting up for both of them to die soon. And this goes against what I was saying last week, because I earlier in the season, thought it was definitely going to be Daryl. I thought they were going
Me
to shift
too.
It over to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now I don't see how it can't be Glenn.
Yeah.
I feel like mm-hmm. going by, maybe if I can read into what the writers are thinking, they're getting us really emotionally attached to Glenn mm-hmm. and Abraham. So it makes sense from,
yeah.
A shock value standpoint that mm-hmm. they would get rid of them, whether they're going by the comics or not. They would kill them off. So I'm going to... agree with you guys. No matter what, I feel like this season, if they're going to kill two people, it'll be Abraham and Glenn for sure.
They might take out two. It's mm-hmm. not
they
like...
might take out two. I mean, they they've done worse, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, in terms of numbers,
yeah.
it would be terrible to kill off someone like Glenn, but I feel like it's inevitable.
I think for Negan to be as terrible a character as he is in the comics, because you have to one-up the governor. The mm-hmm. governor was a piece of garbage, but he yeah. had certain good intentions, whether everything else he did was messed up. Negan needs to just be the purest form of mm-hmm. evil, and you have to kill somebody that the audience loves. If he goes and kills, like, one or two people that are just from Alexandria, it's not going to matter. He killed a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which isn't that different than the comics, because doesn't in the comics he have a code of not killing kids?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And he is the... Like, from a just an opinion point of view, Negan's the coolest character we've ever gotten in the comics. He's the best thing that comic series did since the very beginning.
You're a freaking evil dude.
Yeah. No, I mean,
no, I'm saying you for liking him.
He's the most effectively awesome character, like, in a villain way. He's a great villain. Mm-hmm. And if they do it right and they give us the ending to this season that I think they're going to give us, next season's going
to
be totally...
It's going to add so much more to the story.
It's going
to
be nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, they're talking about getting out of Alexandria and having some new scenery. Mm-hmm. There's, like, this whole stretch of the story is great. And then again, if we stick with the comics, the whole thing that happens after the Negan saga is just as cool.
Yeah.
So we're getting into, like, a whole different direction for the Walking Dead story. The way the source material tells it is that, like, very much, like, a lot of stuff we've seen as far as, like, world building and zombies, they just shift the tone of the show totally
yep.
to we're much more in control. We're not as scared of zombies as we used to be.
Yeah.
And now it's about building a new world, which is really cool.
But they're going to do it at the expense of Glenn.
And then space aliens.
So, I'm going to lose space, it. Yeah.
Curveball, what if it's Maggie?
No.
Never? No?
I don't think so. I don't think on the show.
Because if Negan is that on some next level evil stuff, I'm just saying.
They just won't have. In a way, unless they're going to change the way that they would not throw that on TV. A pregnant woman getting her head beaten in by a man with a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire.
She doesn't have to die that way. But I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think you could introduce him with anything other than the bat.
Yeah.
He's so iconic to that. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been at Comic-Con and seen people walk around. And the first thing you look at is how good the bat looks. You don't care about the rest of the costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the bat with blood stains on barbed wire and stuff like that. I mean,
it's so Negan.
Iconic. Yeah.
It's like I said, the most effective single scene in the entire 160 issues of comics.
And that was issue 100, and they made sure to make that point of having it in such a monumental episode.
I'm hoping for Abraham and not Glenn.
Well, I'm telling you, you might see both. You really might see both.
Yeah, we probably will see both.
I think my final prediction is that we're going to see Glenn die the way that he dies in the comics, frame for frame. What I can't figure out is what we're going to get for the next five episodes.
God, what will that do to Maggie? Maybe she'll have a miscarriage.
No!
We
need some hope in this world.
Yeah, right.
I know. We've got Judith.
She needs a playmate.
I know.
Well, we...
Hopefully people in Hilltop have children. I mean, he said babies are being born.
Like, they're too, you know...
So that is one thing you mentioned earlier I did want to address, though, because they're very good about not giving you the scale of the amount of people in a town,
mm-hmm.
because we've seen a bunch of people from Alexandria die, and then all of a sudden there's still a lot of people left in that community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially after the wolves attack and then that invasion, there's still a lot of people mm-hmm. there. And they've done that in the past, too, where, you know, we didn't know how many people were mm-hmm. in the governor's...
Woodbury.
Right.
We didn't know how many people were there. And then all of a sudden, like, when the governor, like, loses it and mows people down with a gun and everything like that, it's like, oh, there were still tons of people.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it makes sense to not introduce, like, tons of people when you first come to Hilltop. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure we're going to see more characters come out of that town, and, like, we'll get a better sense of that community and, like, mm-hmm. feel a little bit more attached to the people there. And I think we'll see more of them, like, in the next five episodes.
Right. They purposely don't show you the scale when they introduce a new location.
Yeah.
That's something they've done
consistently.
Maybe that's
how they're going to feel it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to see some interesting characters out of this place.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm excited, though.
I think that pretty much does it, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
I guess that's going to wrap up the AfterBuzz TV recap of Season 6, Episode 11, Knots Untie on The Walking Dead. And we will be here next week doing the very same thing at the same time, I think, 8 o'clock.
I think so.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's either 8 or 9 we'll be here next week. But tune in and check it out. And of course, when this is over, then be sure to stick around for Fear the Walking Dead, which will be taking, I think, the same time slot, same night, and some of the same panel members.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Not this guy.
Not this guy. Once again, guys, I'm Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram.
At The John Carl on Twitter, Instagram, and one half of Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube.
Cool.
cool. Sorry for dying earlier this episode, guys. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Ajuri, and on the Shameless podcast on Sunday nights. And next week, I'll be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nice.
Ooh, awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Michelle, M-I-C-H underscore Madison TV, and on Instagram, Michelle underscore Madison TV.
Cool. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.